Well, May 31st is World No Tobacco Day. Joining us today for this edition of What's Good, we have Dr. Lena Lee, Deputy Medical Officer of Health for the Southeast Health Unit, and also Rebecca Shams, Health Promoter at the Health Unit, here to talk about it. Dr. Lee, welcome.
Hello, hello.
Rebecca, good to see you again.
Thanks, Bob. Good to see you too.
We'll start with you, Dr. Lee. What is public health's interest in World No Tobacco Day? Should be fairly obvious.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, right? Like the public health, of course, is involved in prevention and enforcement and also helping people quitting use of nicotine products and really that can range from a number of different sort of nicotine intake methods, usually smoking and vaping for people in Ontario and certainly in our region. So, for example, Rebecca, who will talk a little bit more about some of the other things for World No Tobacco Day. She often visits schools and youth groups to help people make evidence-informed decisions around using nicotine. And we know that intervention with youth is a really important part of the conversation about nicotine use and prevention. Several of our other staff across the health unit are trained in cessation, smoking cessation, and nicotine cessation techniques and our cessation coaches to help people who currently smoke or vape to quit. We also have tobacco enforcement officers who enforce the Ontario legislation called the Smoke-Free Ontario Act, which deals with the sale and supply of tobacco and e-cigarettes and its components. And then that's the legislation that also sets restrictions for where tobacco and e-cigarettes and cannabis can be vaped or smoked in public places or workplaces. So we do have a number of different prongs relating to nicotine use, nicotine prevention that touch at the health unit.
Rebecca, what's the theme of World No Tobacco Day this year?
Well, the World Health Organization sets a theme for this every year, and this year they've chosen Unmasking the Appeal, Exposing Industry Tactics on Tobacco and Nicotine Products. And it's a really important thing to talk about the tobacco industry and the marketing tactics behind cigarettes, tobacco, and nicotine products in general. Tobacco, the plant, of course, has been around for millennia, but tobacco companies have been selling commercial cigarettes for use since 1847, and they are still some of the largest and most profitable companies in the world.
It still amazes me that someone saw this plant and said, I'm going to dry this out, crumble it up, and then light it on fire and breathe in the smoke from it. I don't know how they come to these conclusions, but when you talk about these big tobacco companies and so on, why do you think they're so successful? We've known just how deadly smoking can be for a long time now.
Well, exactly, but it's addiction. You know, if you sell an addictive product, you guarantee your customers keep coming back, even if it's killing them. And we are seeing the tobacco industry really morph and be incredibly innovative. You know, smoking rates are really declining in North America particularly, and so they're watching their profits decline along with that. So when they see new opportunities to get involved with that same addictive product, nicotine, like vapes and now even nicotine pouches, they jump in with two feet.
So, Dr. Lee, originally I know that vaping was supposed to help smokers quit, but it's kind of taken a left turn, hasn't it?
Yes. So really, vaping was invented as a smoking or a harm reduction device for smokers. And so, you know, as people probably know, we are a big fans of harm reduction here at the health unit. And so vaping really was invented separate from the tobacco industry altogether as a technique to help reduce harm from smoking and from tobacco for people who aren't able to quit smoking or who were using it as a cessation device, so a way to help quit smoking. And what happened very quickly is that the tobacco industry realized that this would be a new opportunity for addiction, especially for young people to these products. And we see that the tobacco industry really specifically targets young people using their marketing techniques, the flavors, the technology, and the design that they use. And for example, early on, there were vaping companies who were specifically going to kids and saying, "Hey, this is how you can vape without your parents or your teachers knowing," like giving people specific techniques. And so that sort of targeting towards young people is very quickly how this new technology pivoted, and the use rates that we see in the literature, and for us locally in our region, totally support that as well. I think lots of parents are aware that kids, especially in high school, that is not uncommon for kids to be vaping. And I should say, as to back up a little bit as well, some people do use vaping as a cessation method or as a harm reduction method, especially older people, so people in their 30s and 40s. Some people have had success. The evidence shows that using this, so vaping is no more effective as a quit method than any other quit method that's used for people who already smoke. But the majority of people who use vapes now is actually people who've never smoked. And so quitting smoking isn't even part of the conversation for them. And really, it's especially for kids. Most of these kids have never smoked, and didn't have a cigarette or tobacco addiction, but now have developed a vaping addiction.
So, Rebecca, what can we do about this?
Well, this year's theme for World No Tobacco Day is a great start. Keep educating people about the industry and their tactics. They are always going to be, or trying to be at least, 2 steps ahead in innovation to try to evade any regulations for products that they come up with. But if we can keep the focus on them, then hopefully any new product that they come up with will be very critically examined and proper regulations will be put on them if they're even approved for sale at all. So governments really play a big role in controlling what can be sold. But we at the health unit work with young people and schools and communities and parents to ensure that they not only know the consequences of using nicotine products, but who's behind them and making money off of their decisions as well.
Yeah, for sure. And we've been hearing about the problem with vaping in bathrooms and how students don't feel comfortable going to the bathroom. So definitely education, a huge part of it. And I know the health unit is excellent for doing that and reaching out to everyone involved. So Dr. Lee, where can people go to get more evidence-informed info on the health risks of tobacco and connect to quitting resources?
Yeah, so we have lots of information on our website, healthunit.org. There is a smoking and vaping tab on the website. So when you load our website, healthunit.org, at the very top, there's a number of little sort of oval, square-ish shapes tabs. And then one of them is smoking and vaping. There you can find information. We have a little bit of a blurb on our website. And then we also have a number of resources that people can use. All of these are credible information because, of course, along with all of this discussion, there's we haven't covered today, but in other parts of these radio interviews, there's a lot of misinformation and false information, especially on the addictiveness of vaping and the health risks of vaping. There are substantial health risks, and we do have information on our website. There's also information about how to talk to young people, and what are helpful techniques. We also have information about cannabis, so lots of information. There's also contact information to connect you with one of our quit coaches and some of the work that we do at the health units for smoking cessation. And then also, of course, people should know that their healthcare provider, if they have a primary care provider, one of the big roles that they play for people who use nicotine products is to help with cessation for both smoking and vaping as well. So reach out to your healthcare provider as well.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for this. It's an annual conversation we have, but we like to put it in front of the spotlight whenever we can to get the word out there for sure. Dr. Lena Lee, thank you so much for being here.
Always a
Thank you.
Yeah, Rebecca Shams, it's always a pleasure to speak with you as well.
Thank you.